This is Dave Glowitz. I'm here with the Chicago Reader's Ben Jarofsky. How are you doing today, Ben?
Very well.
Good. Today we're talking about your article that appeared in the Reader on April 1st, 2010, which is titled Do As We Say, Not As We Do. Your article talks about the Chicago Public Schools 2010 budget and how, despite its announcements to the contrary, upper management's salaries seem to have gone up in the face of cutbacks that the Chicago Public School System says it's making, and you take that apart. And I have never seen this before in the Reader, but noticing other typos have cropped up recently. They misspelled your name in the byline, right?
Mm, they've done that from time to time.
S-K-I?
Oh, no, that's the first time they've ever done that variation.
Being the Polish descent, I kind of appreciate that.
Actually, I didn't write the story. Some other guy did.
Ben Jarofsky, the Polish guy. April Fool.
No.
Didn't happen.
Good.
My April Fool joke for the day.
But they've actually misspelled my name. That's why
have
I wasn't
really?
Surprised, yeah.
I thought you were going to be shocked. Shocked and dismayed.
No, but I'm used to my name being misspelled.
I'll have to come up with a better joke next year.
That joke was as bad as your subject joke.
In your article, you talk about how the Chicago Public Schools head, Ron Huberman, says that his administration cut about 1,000 people, including 167 professional mid-management types. But you could find only 119 fewer people in the central office. Did you find any evidence of those cuts anywhere else?
There are ongoing cuts. There have been cuts. People at the central office have been fired. There have been reports of it in the newspaper. I know of people who've lost their jobs.
But the number doesn't add up to their number.
That's correct, Senator.
You found fewer cuts in the central office
Absolutely.
Than they claimed. Did you find those 1,000?
No, you can't find them in the budget. Those cuts do not appear in the budget. They announced in their press releases 1,000 positions have been closed. These closings took place, were announced anyway, in June of 2009. And the budget that they passed 2 months later did not reflect those cuts. So either those cuts did not happen, or for some reason they passed a budget in which those cuts were not represented.
Which is possible.
Anything's possible with these guys. Either way you look at it, they're sending out, giving out misleading information. And see, this is the central point. If we are in a moment of crisis and we are having to make these sacrifices, either in terms of losing school services or getting teachers to take a pay cut or getting pensioners to lose a portion of their pension or getting taxpayers to pay more, we have to be honest about the nature of the problem. And big surprise here, in the city of Chicago, there is really no honesty when it comes to budget making. This is just another example, TIFs being our favorite.
I'm wondering how our listeners can hold Chicago Public Schools accountable. Where can we engage the democratic process here? And here's what I'm thinking.
Go ahead.
He said skeptically. We elect aldermen to the city council.
Mm-hmm.
City council has an education committee.
Yes.
The members, for our listeners' benefit, are Alderman Anthony Beal, Lana Lane, not to be confused with Superman's girlfriend, Sharon Dixon, Robert Maldonado, Walter Burnett, Rick Munoz, Scott Wagasback, Tom Tunney, Latasha Thomas. Your colleague Mick Dumke wrote in the Reader blog on February 22nd that he thinks that few of the City Council's Education Committee have substantive issues before them in their meetings, mostly just approving, you know, Board of Education members. And even more seldom do they have public hearings where the public is invited to comment. So it occurred to me that one way for Chicagoans to be heard on the issue that we're talking about is to pressure aldermen to have the Education Committee hold more public hearings. I'm wondering what you think of that as a way to affect some kind of change, or can you think of any other ways?
No, that's a strategy. The leaders of Chicago only respond to what they consider a public relations crisis. And so one of those is like an embarrassing spectacle of a public hearing in which hundreds of parents show up to talk about how these budget cuts are impacting their lives, and conversely, to ask Huberman to defend his pay raise, you know, in the face of these cuts. So absolutely, that's a great idea. You could do it also in Springfield. You could have the state legislature hold these hearings, since it is actually Springfield where the extra state aid would come from that Chicago wants, or the changes in pension law would come from that the Board of Education wants. So those are great ideas. It's not very likely to happen anytime soon. As you know, the theme of Mick's piece that you're citing is that, of course, the aldermen are really just creatures of the same political machine that Ron Huberman belongs to. So they're all sort of part of the same daily team, and they're all offering up the same line of the week, L-I-N-E line of the week, which is that this is a terrible time. Schools are suffering. Sacrifices must be made. And by the way, I I don't doubt that sacrifices must be made. They wouldn't be making these cuts if they didn't feel they had to on some level, but I don't know the depth of the problem. I don't trust the numbers that they're putting out at all.
In your article, you say that the CPS spokeswoman, Monique Bond, hasn't gotten back to you on some of your questions. Has she gotten since you wrote the article?
No, that's my relationship with the communications department of the Board of Education is an oddball one. For whatever reason, I don't know why, Monique Bond does not respond in any meaningful way to my questions. So in this case, I called, left a message. She called back to see what I wanted, gave me a sort of a generic response. And then I came back at her with very specific questions, follow-ups, and she said she'd get back to me with those follow-ups. She never did, and she still hasn't. So the article has this curious schizophrenia from the Board of Ed, which is they respond to some of the issues that I raise in an incomplete manner that raises more questions, and then they don't respond to the questions that their incomplete response generated. So the result is they'd probably be better off not even talking to me if they're not going to seriously engage me in the issues that I'm raising. I plan to do school stories to try to ferret out the truth. I'm obligated to call the central office and get their explanation, whatever it would be. If they choose not to respond and give me their explanation, then there's nothing I can do about it.
I have a feeling that this story is not over. Our listeners should stay tuned for more installments on that.
Stay tuned.
Ben Jarofsky of the Chicago Reader, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, sir.
This is Dave Gloetz. You've been listening to the rest of the story. When you get a chance, check back at MrRadio.org for more of these interviews or subscribe to our podcast. Thanks for listening.